Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello and welcome everybody. You have tuned into episode number 251 of Linux in the Ham Shack. I'm the host for us, K5TUX, and with me tonight is Cheryl.
W5MOO.
And also Bill.
NE4RD, good evening.
All right, so we're back. We're recording a little bit late, but that's entirely my fault and Cheryl's fault. I'm not going to take all the blame for it.
Oh, fine. I wanted to go 2 weeks ago, but no.
Yeah, well, we can't go next weekend either. So, all right, roll bar. Oh. Ted just said roll bar in the chat room apropos of nothing. I was like, okay, well,
my motorcycle roll bar. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's from a conversation from a little bit ago. Anyway, we'll get the show started. The show being the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet, as everyone should know by now, and we are getting more followers and subscribers and listeners all the time, which is really cool.
Silly people.
Yeah, silly people. Right.
They just don't know better.
Silly person. But along those lines, we'll mention right up here at the top of the show that we've been invited to be on Ham Talk Live with Neil Rapp, WB8VPG. We're going to connect to him via Skype. That's how he kind of does everything. He, you know, takes people who call in and does a show on amateur radio. And, for some reason he wanted us to be a part of it. So we'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah. He must be running out of topics.
I think so.
He's digging pretty low in the barrel. It's been a while. I forget how many episodes he's got on there. Let's see here. He's up to episode 135.
Yeah, so there were 130, well, six now. Because, well, technically, Bill is going to be on next
week. Yes, I'll be on this week.
Or this week, that's right. Yep, yes. Bill will be on this week, and then Bill will be on next week with the rest of us. So,
yes,
Bill's starting them on. But we were the 135th and 6th choices. So, you know.
There's... Yeah.
But anyway, I feel for we him. Have. yes, as I feel for everyone who comes on our show as well. So, the URL will be in the show notes where you can find Ham Talk Live. But it's real easy. Just go on the interwebs and search for Ham Talk Live and you'll find it and you can listen to us. And he broadcasts via Spreaker, which you can listen to it on Spreaker, and I forget, we streamed it via Spreaker, or did we stream it some other way when we were listening?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember either, but Spreaker is one of those podcasty things, and you know, that's how he does his thing, so whatever. It costs money, so we don't use it. So anyway, that's it. That's our lead topic. Look for us on Ham Talk Live, well, Bill this week, and us next week. So check it out. All right. So with that, let's move into some amateur radio topics. This is our short format show, so we're going to talk about some stuff shortly. And
that's quickly. Right. And I'll start out mine, since mine was a this is a complete billism here. Okay. The ballots are out. I received my ballot from the ARRL for the director and vice director for my division. I know there's several other divisions also going through election process right now, so you should probably have your ballots either in your hands or probably lost somewhere in the mail system. And I just mentioned, I took a picture of the ballot, which shows a picture of all the people running for director and vice director. And there's just like a common theme amongst them all. They're just very old. And one of my followers went back. He's like, well, that's not the only issue with diversity there. And I'm like, well, there is a female. But yeah, it is a... It is pretty vanilla.
Is she also old?
No. Yeah, she is too. Yeah, they're all old.
Okay, they're all old. Okay, that's so.
Yeah, so mine was like hashtag where are the youth? They seem to complain about everything about the ARL. But I didn't see any of them in my ballot. So yeah.
Well, Bill, anyway, since you're more up on the ARRL than Cheryl and I, because mm-hmm. I have not been a part of the organization for many, many years now. So if you want to be a director or, you know, do some office in the ARRL, how does that happen? Is it nomination voting type thing? Is it, I'd say, yes, I want to do it, or?
Yes. For director and vice director, those are nominated positions. So you have to be nominated for it. And then, I guess you eventually get on the ballot at some point. I'm not sure. We only had three for vice director and three for director. I'm not sure how popular of a position that is in the realm of the ARRL. I'm assuming there's a little bit more of a time commitment and stuff related to that, because you do have to, make some accommodations to attend events and stuff like that throughout the entire district. So yeah. A little different than like a section manager, which I think is basically done the same way through a vote. Nomination.
Sounds almost like a position for a retiree.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's possibly it. Is like if it's a non-paid job, which it is, you probably have to take time out of work if you're a working person to do it. So yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense for the older population to do this type of role. But I just thought it was interesting. I know, like over in up in New England, they have a couple of up and coming people running over there. So we'll be excited to see how that turns out for their votes. But mine's a boring division. So
you got all that wide open space.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I haven't even looked up to see what's going on in the directorship of, you know, our section here. I have no idea, but I suppose I should pay more attention, but life goes on. All right, so anyway, this next one doesn't look completely Bill-ized, so I think we can let Cheryl do it.
What?
Huh? You mean what? How come you're always caught off guard?
Because I'm still recovering from driving home.
Well, I'm still recovering from working on the show notes while you were driving home, so.
Yeah, I find it amazing that 150 miles into the trip, you're like, oh crap, we're almost home.
Yeah, because I didn't see anyone go by. I was too busy doing stuff. So. Which was actually great for me. I'm sure it sucked for you.
Yeah, it sucked for me, trust me. So. Yeah.
All right, so anyway, go for it.
All right, so our next story is about Hurricane Net activation is imminent. The Hurricane Watch Net, HWN, has announced tentative plans to activate on October 9th at 2100 UTC on both 14.325 and 7.268, as now Hurricane Michael is forecast to become a Category 1 hurricane later today. Expected to make landfall somewhere on the Florida Panhandle in the evening of the 10th, as strong as a Category 2 or possibly a major Category 3 hurricane.
Oh, so much fun to be in the Southeast these days.
Yeah, so here we go again.
Right.
We live in Tornado Alley. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, but this has been a really light tornado season from what I recall. I don't even... There, maybe early in the season, there were a couple of bad storms. And I know a few people have probably died from tornado-related incidents. But it's nothing like this late hurricane season is turning into.
True.
So, all right, we'll be on the lookout for that. And if you need to participate or want to participate in activation of those nets, that information will be in the show notes. And then we also have WRC 19, the agenda being set. IARU volunteers have been working for 3 years to progress agenda item 1.1 for the World Radio Conference 2019. This agenda item seeks a Region 1 allocation at around 50 megahertz for the amateur service in the radio regulations table of frequency allocations to align with the allocations in Regions 2 and 3. At this meeting, two options were prepared, the first preferred by the majority of SEPT administrators actively participating in discussions, and proposes a 2 megahertz secondary allocation for inclusion in Article 5 of the ITU radio regulations. The second option, which is the result of a major compromise brokered by the amateur movement following the last PTD meeting, and it's preferred by URAO, URAO, and IARU, would see 500 kilohertz primary allocation from 50.0 to 50.5 megahertz, and a secondary allocation for the rest of it, 50.5 through 52. Either option would improve the current 50 megahertz international mechanisms, which permit amateur radio operation on a non-interference, non-protected basis. These options will be further considered at the next PTD meeting. Go. It's all about Yay. The it's all about 6 meters.
The magic band. Or magic band goodness. Yeah, I know this has been a bone of contention for a lot of people. So hopefully they'll get this resolved and we'll see some 6 meter action in some new areas that hasn't been allowed.
It's always nice when there are more allocations opened up to the amateur radio service, especially in interesting bands like 6 meters. And so apparently IARU regions 2 and 3 already have allocation in this space. Is that what I got from this?
Yes.
All allocation primary?
I think we're IARU 2, aren't we? So,
oh, so what's one? I'm sorry. What's IRU one?
One is, I think, Europe, if I recall correctly. I'd have to look at my IARU region map. Let's see, IARU region map. Region
I haven't map. Looked at my QSL card recently. That's where yeah. It tells me what my IARU region is.
Okay, so region one is Europe and Asia and Africa. Region two is all of North America and South America. Region three is like South Pacific and Asia, South Asia, Southeast Asia. Okay. So yeah, so region two and region three, of course, have 6 meters. And this is why Europe uses 70 megahertz, the 4 meter band that we don't get, because they have allocations there and we don't. And I think it has to do with for us, it used to be TV stations were the problem. But since we're no longer analog and TV, we no longer have those terrestrial problems with 6 meters. I think like channel 3 or 4 or something like that was right in the middle of the 6 meter band. But I think over in region 1, they still have a different setup there. So they have other primary uses for those frequencies. But I think that's also dying off. So hopefully they'll get able to clear this up and we'll get some 6 meter action completely available for region 1.
Yeah, we probably don't have the 70 megahertz because they're probably trying to commercialize it for wireless service or something after it's been taken out of the TV service. We usually don't fall into those kind of allocations. They don't come the amateur radio way. Usually they go to somebody who buys it and it turns into a commercial service or something.
Yeah.
All right, very good. There's our short topics in amateur radio for tonight, so let's move on and talk about some open source. And since Bill's the .NET guy, we'll let him tackle the .NET story.
.NET.
Why are we talking about .NET for crying out loud?
Well, I don't know. And it's also using a permissive MIT license, so it's kind of like borderline open source. But anyway, the Microsoft Inferred .NET machine learning framework goes open source. Microsoft announced that they open sourced their Infer.net on GitHub under the permissive MIT license for free use in commercial applications. Infer.net is a framework for running Bayesian inference in graphical models. You can use Infer.net to solve many different kinds of machine learning problems, from standard problems like classification, recommendation, or clustering through to customized solutions to domain-specific problems. Infer.net has been used in a wide variety of domains, including information retrieval, bioinformatics, epidemiology, vision, and many others. And that came to us from Microsoft. Ching, ching.
So, learning machine. So, it's an AI framework in .NET. Interesting.
Yep.
And it's going to be the open source Watson.
Yeah.
Or something. Actually, yeah, wasn't Watson built on some open source technology?
Yeah, that's IBM's, though.
Yeah, well, of course it's IBM's, but because IBM is better than Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't recall which one that was originally forked or built from. But anyway, so this will run on .NET and also .NET Core and I believe Mono 5. So it should run everywhere. So that's the nice part about this one.
Yes, and it is open source, technically. It's MIT, which is an open source license, but it's not a copyleft license. It's a very permissible license. So it means that someone can take the code, create something with it, and then commercialize it. But the code itself will still be out there available for you to do whatever you want to do with it, too. Build your learning robot or sex robot or whatever it is you're going to build with it.
Absolutely.
Bill's like, I'm jotting this down. Got to get on the sex robot.
I'm reading a Slack. Sorry.
All right. So we have a quick flash topic, and that's Ansible 2.7 In the Light has been released. There's been a lot of talk on the admin podcast guys about Ansible. They're all crazy for Ansible, you know, automatic building of servers and deployment of applications, space and stuff like that. It is kind of a cool thing, but you kind of have to be a real deep system admin type geek to be interested in Ansible. It's a radically simple IT automation platform that makes your applications and systems easier to deploy. Avoid writing scripts or custom code to deploy and update your applications. Automate in a language that approaches plain English. Use SSH with no agents to install on remote systems. This particular release has several security fixes, among many new modules for Azure, Google Compute, and more. Check it out. And that's Ansible 2.7 being released. I know we've played around. We talked about Ansible once before, I think. We tried to. Yeah, we talked impotently about Ansible.
I think John was going to come teach us all about it.
Oh, well, good. We need to have John come and do that. Yeah. But like with all powerful tools, they have a fairly steep learning curve. So, you know, and yes, it does have a human readable like language. But there is still structure and syntax that you have to learn. It's not like you can just say, oh, go do this thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not quite that free form, but, it is powerful. So if you're into, if you have a lot of systems to deploy and you want to do it in an automated fashion, you should check out Ansible. There are lots of other applications that do that kind of thing. Some of them are open source. I can't remember if, Chef and Puppet are both open source. I think they are.
Yeah, I think they are. They were at one point.
Yeah.
I know I've used Chef for doing like just some toy stuff. I never really got into doing it for anything work or production related, but I did try it all out and thought it was pretty slick.
Yeah, and there's some other ones out there too, but Ansible is really gaining in popularity. All right. Are you ready to read a quickie one?
Sure. I'll read a quickie one.
All right. Read a quickie then.
Okay. So our last one is Open Source Firmware Conference 2018. Videos are online. The conference was last month in Europe. If you're interested in content from it, they have a slew of videos from the presentations there.
Yeah, that was pretty short and to pretty the point. Sure. That's more of a flash topic than the flash topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I should have made it a flash topic. But yeah, it's over on YouTube, so you can find that there. We'll link it in the show notes for you.
Open Source Firmware Conference. That sounds interesting. I wonder what kind of embedded machineries and, you know, Internet of Things type stuff they were doing over there. I think I'm going to go check out that YouTube channel and see.
Yeah, they have like a Linux boot status report, a journey from closed to open, why memory is a hard problem in a modern computer architecture, core boot main board porting, open BMC. Let's see here, Google Secure Microcontroller and CCD. So a lot of cool and interesting little topics. Dynamic Tables Framework, a tale of reusability and core boot. So yeah, deep in the depths of boot. check it out if you're like that geeky. I don't think I am.
if you know all of the things you can do with BusyBox, check this out.
Yeah,
it's going to be like porn for you. So all right, so I'm going to tackle this next one in our Linux and the Ham Shack segment because the last two are 100% billified. So we're going to have to let him do the last. So this first one is another flash topic, I guess, if you want to say. FT8 call is a new mode that's based on FT8. We've talked about it before. It's actually a RAG2 FT8 mode, which is a sort of quasi-contradictory. And I actually couldn't get it to work the other day when I tried it, but I think that was a machine configuration problem because as soon as I rebooted and started up FT8, everything was working fine. And I never did try to get FT8 call working again. However, I can no longer get FT8 call to work, nor can you, because it's not called FT8 call anymore. It's called JS8 call. And after getting notice of the WSJT's team disapproval of naming the project FT8 call, the team renames the application to JS8 call and releases a new version 0.7.2. And I just got an email from the list not that long ago outlining the features of 0.7.2, and apparently they're calling it a major release. So,
yeah, I think they had 0.7 out when they first made the change, but I think it had a few problems and it got quickly changed in the next day or two. So
yeah, and I forget so, what JS who JS stood for. I know I saw it in the list, but I don't recall.
I don't recall either.
It's the, apparently some of the code or the major part of the code for FTA call, now JSA call, was created by somebody whose initials are JS, and I don't remember who that is. So. But anyway, yes, check out JS8 call if you want to rag chew on FT8 or something like that.
Yeah, it's the new hotness, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Until we'll the new, until like JS4 call comes out or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's twice like, the text, half the nonsense. I don't know.
It's all getting Alrighty. Stupid in the digital world. But anyway, let's go GitHub dumpster diving.
Yes, yes, we're going to go GitHubbing and GitLabbing tonight. We're double dipping here. We're going into both repo trash heaps.
before you do that, there's a comment, a relevant comment in the chat room. There's lots of comments in the chat room, but there's a relevant one, and that is that Logbook of the World does not accept JS8 call. So if you're logging via Logbook of the World, that is important. I also saw something about. Another logger, or there were, I think it was EQSL, was trying to update to accept things like FT8. I'm not sure they have done that or not.
Yeah, this is always the case. I mean, even when FT8, you know, was originally released, it took several weeks for those extensions to get added into Logbook of the World and, you know, trickle through all the other loggers that are out there. So, yeah, it takes a little while. Initially, you can just throw it in as a digital contact like RDDY or FSK or something like that. That way you can get it logged and then you can just go and update it later on.
All right. So as with all things, when the technologies are brand new, it takes the other folks that are sort of contingent upon that technology some time to catch up. So it will be in there eventually. Yeah, but just especially be aware. If
they change the name.
Right, exactly. So just be aware that if you're using one of these new modes that and a digital logger, that you may have some trouble actually logging contacts for a little while. Okay, yeah. Now you
just
can go
store them in
the
your game. Log and you can transmit them later, so no big deal.
Absolutely.
But anyway, back to GitHubbing. So I found a couple of interesting projects here on GitHub that have been recently updated. First one comes to us from Steven Hauser, N1SH. It's called QSO Mapper. And it's a JavaScript web page to plot ADIF, you know, log an ADIF file on a Google map. And it's pretty cool. The link is in the show notes. And he has a little test page up so you can see what it looks like. And it brings up a nice little map that you can zoom, you know, like Google Maps. And you can select a file. You can do whatever you want. If you want to run a local file, you can do whatever you want with that. It looks like a pretty cool little project to do something simple and sweet. I'm thinking of possibly using this for a national or world jamboree next year because we want to keep some kind of map of the contacts that are going on at the moment. And this might be an option just to keep an ADIF file constantly updated on that box. But yeah, check that out. And another project here was from Christian or Christogen Kunkus. I'm sure that's pronounced wrong. It's a DX Spider deployment script for doing a DX Spider server. DX Spider deployment. That's what it's called. This is a deployment project for DX Spider amateur radio DX cluster software. It's an independent of the DX Spider development. This project focuses on easy DX Spider deployment in virtualized cloud environments. And as such, is focused primarily on supporting telnet nodes running on TCP networks. And basically, this is a Docker setup. So you could run a DX Spider DX cluster inside of a Docker container. So check that out. It's on GitHub.
This is actually the cluster server?
Yes.
Okay. So you spin it up in a Docker instance, and then you telnet to it, and people can log contacts.
Yes.
Or log spots, not contacts.
Yep.
Okay. Very
yep.
cool.
So it sets up a DX Spider node. Yep. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes. And it's very, very well documented. And you can see how to set it up. And then you can telnet right into it. And it behaves just like any DX Spider node. So it's pretty cool. The other project comes from GitLab. This is the first time I've kind of dumped in or dived into GitLab. And finding projects was kind of interesting to start with because I didn't know where to look. but I did find the search button. So it was not that hard. So I found this project from Nolan. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Derelick.
Is he
Derelick?
Do we need to get Doctor Who for the Daleks?
Yeah, I don't know. Nolan D. Anyway, yeah, he has a Chirp flat pack project here. So this is a Chirp. I think everybody's heard of that before. It's a free and open source tool for programming your amateur radio. And of course, Flatpak, the future of application distribution across Linux desktops. So this is a merging of the two. This is Chirp Flatpak. Channel is the quickest, easiest way to install and update Chirp across any Linux distribution that supports Flatpaks. And like we talked about in our deep dive episode on all the virtualization techniques of, you know, Flatpaking and snaps and everything else. Yeah, this is just another way to get an application onto your computer. And now you have one that you can run Chirp with. So this is a pretty cool project here over on GitLab.
All right. Very cool. It's kind of interesting that you should mention this Chirp Flatpak project, because in our next episode, I'll be talking about a distribution that supports Flatpak. So
sweet. There you go. Is the whole OS Flatpak?
The whole OS is not Flatpak. But
darn.
So you'll just have to tune into the next episode to hear about that.
Cool. I will.
I bet you will. Yes. All right. So with that, we have actually come to the end of our topics for tonight's show. But we do still have a social media roundup to do, so we can let everybody know all of those people who support us. And we really appreciate those people. So have at it.
All right. I shall do that. So on our list this week for Patreons, we have Andy Webster, which is new, William Heckelman, Cubicle Nate, John Spriggs, Steve Sainer, Donald Gover, Robert Pitts, Paul Griffith, Jonas Rulo, Samuel Vimes, Steve Metcalf, Chris Beggio, and Darren King. For subscriptions, we have James Lewis, Steve Hepler, Jeff Zimmerman, Michael Jopling, Steve Nichols, Todd Bowers, Thor Wiegman, Stephen Harp, Charlie Brown, Kevin Murray, Wayne Carpenter, Doug Redder, Bill Pioter, Dylan Engel, Alan Wilson, John Clark, Robert Halliday, Brian Smith, Johnny Kinsey, Ronald Ikey, Robert Yerke, Michael Connolly, and Jeremy Hall. On this Facebook week, or 2 weeks, we had Horace Henson, Fred Smith, Jeff Zacker, and Bill Johnson. Nobody for Google Plus, though, which shocks me.
Google Plus is dead.
I never got into the Google Plus.
We have like almost 2,000 people in that group.
It's dead now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Google, I just never got into Google Plus. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, good. Then we won't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll just talk about all the people who sign up on our Discord from now on.
Yeah, there you go. What we should
do. Yeah, that's
yeah, what exactly. We're gonna do. So for Twitter, we have @bitwise_literal, @n4mdp, @4logbook, @fg8oj, @ealbert, @kf8mz, @kn4iiy, @mmarantech, @king3_lxxxii, and @brandon_ras. For YouTube, we have Ron Griffith, Jim Rorick, Lee.
Careful.
I was going to be careful of that. Farquaharson. I'm going to go with that. And Ed Dugo. For the mailing list, we have Arthur Petway and Dave Wilcox, and no merchandise sales.
All right, there we go. We are down to the end of the list. So we should probably take a quick look at the chat room and see who all is in there.
Have you mentioned that we have like new merch?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was last week.
Yeah, and we're gonna mention it again this week, but all on right. the next show.
On the gotcha.
Yeah. So in the chat room, we have Don, KBTYSI. We have, I forget what KC0NUK's name is. I'm bad about that kind of thing.
Everybody
goes fishing around for it while waiting for him to.
I'm having a brain fart right now.
I'm just going to do call signs. Well, no, we have Dave KB0OWD as well. We have Jeremy. We also have KF5TQN, another person I don't remember the name of. And she's looking up frantically. What is it?
No. Sorry, I missed the call sign.
KF5TQN. He'll probably just say it in the chat room before you look it up. But if he's still listening,
KF5 what?
TQN.
Daniel Lott.
Okay, Daniel, excellent, or Dan, whichever. And we also have Ted, WA0EIR. And I think that's it for like all of the actives.
Oh, fine, I don't.
Oh, I
count.
think Cubicle Nate was in earlier. I don't know if he actually made it to the live show.
He was just at the beginning, I think. Yeah. He would have made it if we were on time or our normal late.
Right. Which is almost the same thing. But
yeah. Our normal late, which is 8:30, or our late today, which was 9 o'clock.
All right. So very good. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the live show. Thanks, everybody, who supports us. And thank you all for listening to the show, you know, afterwards when we release it as a podcast. We appreciate you guys. And look for us again on Ham Talk Live, Bill, this coming Thursday, and the rest of us, or all of us, on the 18th. So that should be pretty fun. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. You've been listening to episode number 251 of Linux in the Ham Shack. And I'm sure you tune in for our Thursday weekend or two. We got some cool stuff coming up there. And then we got a really good deep dive after that. So lots of fun stuff coming up.
Woo-hoo.
All right. So with that, we're on out of here. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHSpodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net/8008/LHS Live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.